there. What's going on? Welcome back to, I guess we're going to call it the first family podcast again.
Second family podcast.
I don't know about that. I got Pastor Dave Berman in studio today. My name is Pastor John Kasbaum. Baptist Church of Elyria. And we started the first family podcast, Pastor Dave, over a year ago. I think I checked it, and it's like February of 2020. We had this brainchild to start a podcast for the church just to get the people of our church listening, a way of disseminating information, things like that. And then the COVID. World just
burst into flames.
Burst into flames. Yep. Here's exactly what happened. So some of you are like, man, when we first started the First Family Podcast, we had Pastor Odo as our pastor, our senior pastor. And right after we started the First Family Podcast, our senior pastor, Pastor Odell, decided to resign. He went off to, I guess I can't say really bigger and better things, but different things.
Different things, yeah.
And
if the third podcast has a third pastor, you should never do this podcast again.
So as soon as he gave his resignation, the next week, COVID hits. Mm. And we have spent the last year just completely inundated with the realities of the world.
Yeah, and everything seems different. And yet, all we want is to go back to whatever was the same.
I don't know what that even is anymore.
No, it's not going to be. I hate the term new normal, but nothing was normal beforehand, I guess. So,
yeah, I kept thinking, we got to get back to podcasts. And we got to, you know, because we actually have a decent listening audience. Mm. People in our church want this. They want to hear from you.
Well, they wanted Pastor Odell and the first podcast. We'll see what happens after the second one.
Yeah, here. I don't think they necessarily want to hear from me, but I'm just here to facilitate the conversation.
Okay.
I want you, I want them to hear from you. And so actually yesterday, you don't know this, but yesterday I went on our Instagram account and we put out a post and said, hey, ask Pastor Dave some questions.
Oh, goodness.
Right? And I think people are, I don't think they knew what to ask you.
Okay.
So I was like thinking maybe we'd get some questions like, you know, what's your favorite drink?
Mm-hmm. Mountain Dew.
Of course.
Diet Mountain Dew.
Diet Mountain Dew, of course. You know, what's your favorite color? How's the transition going? All that kind of stuff. But, I also thought we'd get some deeper intellectual, you know, philosophical and doctrinal questions. Yeah. So I threw two questions at you today that we kind of want to just tackle on this podcast. And then for those of you listening, we're hoping to do this on a weekly basis. We're going to try to be faithful in that.
We will. Well, I mean, it's on the Pastor Dave has to do prioritization. You know, obviously Sunday morning comes first.
Of course.
And so the Lord's work starts from the pulpit and then ends at the podcast, apparently, probably on these days.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's good.
But today is Friday.
Yes, Sunday's coming.
Sunday's coming. I'm thinking we record and try to get something out on Fridays.
Yeah.
So as long as you don't say anything crazy and I don't have to spend a ton of time editing this,
yeah,
we'll be okay.
Listen, I would never add to your list, John, other than... all I do is add to your list. No, it's good. I think it'll work out well if it is on Fridays, because at this point, pretty much, you know, I've had a chance to walk through and work through what the Lord's been leading, the Word of God. So a little bit, it even gives an opportunity just to kind of segue into Sunday mornings. Obviously, this probably will, I don't know if this will go out before Sunday morning, but at least in my head, it's got me thinking towards the series of preaching and all that.
This will be out Friday by 5.
All right.
Yeah, and we'll have it plastered all over the place so our church folk
absolutely
are listening to it.
Our two or three people that are going to start listening to this thing or continue listening will know all about what's going on Sunday. It's true. You could kind of get a heads up on Sunday then, maybe.
That's right.
So that'll work out well.
So what are we tell our listeners, I mean, hopefully most of them know what you're preaching through right now, but
right.
Give us a little bit of information on the current sermon series.
Yeah, we got a chance really as the Lord was transitioning us into the ministry here. One of the things that had been really much on my heart was, all right, Lord, where am I going to start preaching? Kind of starting from that. And sometimes that's one of the bigger things a pastor deals with is, what are you going to be preaching on? What series? And in the midst of praying about it, really just the burden of prayer and something I had read in a couple of different places, a number of things popped up about prayer. And I started just kind of thinking about that and realizing. And so I did some reading on prayer, and I found I got really drawn to and fascinated by the prayers in the Bible. So I just kind of got out a notepad, started writing these things down. And as I started doing that, I was like, man, that's a pretty nice little preaching series. So this series was really kind of started. I think my first thought was great prayers of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of working through that and working with the staff here, and really the John and I kind of can't, you know, we kind of came up with that verse, especially as we were talking through this series, Lord, teach us to pray.
Right.
And I've been thrilled. I've enjoyed thoroughly the first couple of messages, very good responses from our people at the church.
We're getting a lot of really good feedback through our live stream.
Yep.
Some emails coming in. People are ready for what lies ahead. And I think this sermon series is really foundational to, you know, when we ask the question, where do we go as a church from here,
yep,
with a new pastor coming out of COVID, all of these other things? This is the place you've got to start, right?
Absolutely. I think without anything at any level, really, as believers, if there is not the prayer aspect, I think we run the risk, and we've all done it, and I do it as well, where if I'm not praying about it, I'm probably just trying to do it myself, and I'm probably doing it too much myself. And because prayer is what God uses, I believe, to lead and guide, but prayer is also that's humbly submitting something before God and saying, Lord, you're the one that's got to do this. And so I agree. Anything and everything, when you ask a question, what am I supposed to do? And then you ask a question, how am I supposed to do it? And then we say, Lord, will you do something with it? It's all prayer.
Right. All right. I got two things for us to kind of chat about today. I'm trying to pull it up.
Now, listen, you said that I have to do this in one take, but that means you have to do it in one take as well.
Yeah, this is it.
Yep.
Here's the first question that I want to cover with you. First, what do you see as the greatest challenge of the church today? And I'm not necessarily just talking about First Baptist Church of Elyria, but if we know anything about what's going on in the universal church, churches all over the country, all over the world, our church is not uniquely challenged.
Right.
Although we have unique challenges within our own context at First Baptist Church of Elyria, the Church Universal is struggling with a lot of the same things that we are dealing with. And so what would you say is kind of the greatest challenge we face now in the coming years?
Sin.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the easy answer. I actually don't think I don't think there's any new challenges, but there are always challenges. I'm a podcast listener as well. There's a podcast I was listening to the other day, and that gentleman was talking about there's no difference between Ephesus and the current spirit of the age. The challenges really stay the same. You know, you could probably go, even if you went with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's on the personal side. And then obviously, part of the reason that it's so important to focus on prayer is because we don't wrestle flesh and blood. As principalities, as the spiritual realm, you have Satan, and probably none of us are high enough on the priority chart for Satan to actually be specifically dealing with us, but satanic influence and all of that. And so that challenge is sin. I think Satan, you know, Satan deceives and destroys. That's his two main things. But he also uses distraction, divisiveness, and all those things. So I think the challenge really is still the challenge of sin. Sin is always what causes every problem. And you know, even in the counseling realm, when we think about this, you know, it's too easy an answer. And sometimes I've had folks that I've counseled, they're just like, well, I already know that. And it's like, well, everybody's already known that if they've been around the church. You're dealing with sin. Either you're being hurt by others sinning, or you're being hurt by the sin in the world, or you yourself are doing harm to yourself through sin. And so sin is really that big problem. So how do we deal with sin? And then obviously it gets into the specifics, as the Bible does, and how that sin works itself out. But there's not a lot of... There's a general, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the solution. So sin is really where that comes from. And then you start to break it down into the individual ones, which is probably what that question was more about, is what's the biggest individual or more specific challenge in terms of the church, right?
No, I guess, yeah, that's what kind of where I was headed. But your answer, the simplicity of your answer in sin is, I mean, that is the age-old problem. The fall of man, our desire to be more than we are,
Right.
Right. And so then when we place that desire in priority over chasing after what God wants, this leads to all sorts of challenges within the church.
And everything, you know, that's the key, is figuring out the root sometimes. Sometimes we are dealing with the branches of sin and we keep chopping them off, but we haven't dealt with the root issue of what is it coming from? Sin, and even some of the more, I would say, primary root sins and things of that. You know, people talk about today, everybody's kind of living in their own echo chamber. That's pride. That is, I'm not willing to accept someone else's opinion. I don't want to hear someone else. That's the pride of life. I'm right. How dare you tell me I'm wrong? And I think that happens in church, outside of church, political realm, all that sort of stuff.
So, you know, isn't this the issue that the Pharisees really were facing, you know, in Christ's day? Was they were adding to, they wanted to be heard, they wanted others to kind of follow after their own.
And I think what's interesting is very often within these deceptions or within these paths that we all tend to go down is probably with the best of intentions. You know, wanting to be right is a really good intention. For the Pharisees, wanting to be right with God and saying, boy, there's these areas, this is thing that it feels like we're coming a little too close to violating the law. Let's add two layers of law to make sure we don't violate the law. And the intention very often can be very good. And subtly what happens is you start kind of adding all these things. And I think the same thing is true sometimes in sin. There are definitely very rebellious sins, totally the you know, the big no-brainers, you know, Ten Commandment type stuff. But I think there's areas in terms of, you know, lust of the flesh. Everybody's like, yeah, we know what you're talking about there. Lust of the eyes. That's a covetousness. Nobody likes that. Everybody who says they didn't violate the Ten Commandments, that's a lie. Mm-hmm. First, they violated the lies. They've coveted something at some time. The pride of life is the one I think that's that personal knowledge. I think that is probably the spirit of the age, is it's tapping into pride. I think that's an American aspect right now these days. It's just everything is rooted in pride. The narcissism of social media is literally like the steroids to pride for everybody. I think one of my jokes early on as a youth pastor was Facebook shouldn't have been called Facebook. It should have been called lookatme.com, because that was all it was about. It's just look at me. And so I think the pride of life is the tough one. That one, and all sin comes in a sense from pride. You know, if you violate the other ones, you are saying, I am God. God can't tell me what to do.
Something you said there kind of pointed out a difference in our personalities. So you kind of give the Pharisees the benefit of the doubt, right? In that you said you know, potentially they wanted to be right with God. Obviously the outworkings of that right. led to sin, but you kind of give them the benefit
of
the doubt.
You got what I'm saying there. I don't want to be accused of being a Pharisee lover. You know,
I'm not saying that. But my personality I tend to say no. These guys are off the wall,
right?
They're wrong.
And by the time you get to when Jesus is confronting the Pharisees, those guys are off the wall. What I was saying is there's always
it started.
There's a good intention where it started from, but. Like politics, like everything, you know, the power corrupts. So once you add it in there, we are right. We tell you how to be right. And then you add the political power, really, that was connected with that. And political power, you know, ultimate power ultimately corrupts is kind of that concept that takes place. So, yeah, by the time Christ gets on the scene, I'm sure there were some good Pharisees that legitimately were trying to do it right. But there were definitely Pharisees. And even connecting up at times with the Sadducees, who are, you know, borderline atheistic in some senses in terms
just
of eternity.
Corrupt.
Yeah. It all goes corrupt. And everything goes corrupt once you start adding power to it. So yeah, I wouldn't say.
So even though it starts somewhere good, it very quickly left to man.
Yeah.
It very quickly ends up in a bad place.
They probably just hadn't heard a good preaching series on prayer or
something.
That's
right.
That's probably what happened.
So the second question I have for you. We're making good time.
Good.
I guess our goal in this is to, try to make these sound bites something you can digest on the way home from work, right?
There you go, yeah.
So the second thing, speaking of politics, you know, the world is so divisive right now. Everything's polarized. You have, even within the church, you've got differing opinions and understandings of different theologies and things. And it's like, it seems like everyone wants you just to be on one extreme end of the spectrum. So My question to you is, how can we bring unity to the church when the world around us seems so polarized?
Well, this question, I actually read a really good article the other day kind of talking about this, and this guy was probably, he was probably a little bit more on, more extreme than where I would be at in some areas, and it was in a conversation about some of these current things, COVID, masks, church, all that sort of stuff, and it was probably one of the better breakdowns of a reminder of some important principles. Basically, what he said is, he said, as we dialogue about these things, what's important to remember? And this article really, as I was reading, it's like, man, this is something that I need to be reminded of. And one of the things that he put down there, and I think this is true in the general sense, in this kind of, it's almost like an echo chamber type of, you know, I'm in my own world, everybody else who's outside my world is wrong. And there were a couple principles there he put, and I was kind of looking at these again and thinking through it. The first thing he said is just a reminder that there are certain things. In this case, he was talking about COVID. He was talking about church and all those things. He said, just we have to remember there are many, many things right now we are talking about as believers, because it's just a part of our world and a part of our life, that absolutely fall into the category of gray areas.
Sure.
And to recognize that something is a gray area. And for example, he talks about COVID. He said COVID is not dealt with in Scripture, right? There's not a specific thing in terms of that. Obviously, in terms of principles and precepts, those are there. He says, you know, this is, his definition is this. He says, a gray area is an issue where believers may, in good conscience, end up on different sides of the issue, yet both sides be without sin. Now, what's interesting is, I think one of the problems that happens is, the reason we don't stick with that, we take things out of gray areas, is we actually start saying that person is a sin. I've heard people say, that person believes opposite of me in an area, they're a sinner. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we go there, we're in trouble. And he makes it clear we have to be careful about that. And then he gave this great point, which I thought was probably the most important point there. But go ahead.
I just want to clarify. There are some, obviously, you know, non-gray areas where distinctions ought to be made.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So there are times when we look at others and say, no, that is clearly sin. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to talk about here, I guess, or what you're saying is,
right,
in the gray areas where Scripture is not explicitly or implicitly
right
saying this is right or wrong.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. At least that was the way I read that question. Is, I feel like the majority, I didn't feel like that's a question asking, what do we do when we're on different sides of the coin in terms of sin and non-sin? I thought
right. The
question is more, what do we do in terms of areas that I think I'm right, you think you're right, and we're not able to land on this?
Right.
And I
agree.
Now, for the most part, everybody usually can pull a scripture here or there. This is where we get in trouble. Each side can pull a scripture that says, well, you know, submit to authority, you know, and then the other one.
Half of them are going to Daniel.
Right.
The other half are going to
Romans 13.
Romans 13.
And 1 Peter and that. So that's where it's not easy. You have to prayerfully consider this. But this is where I think the second thing this guy said was important. He said, we have to be reminded that unity is found in Christ, not in gray areas. And too many of us are unifying in gray areas. And we're jettisoning our unity in Christ. And he actually goes back and says, and I remember when my dad was a pastor and my dad was preaching on this, and I remember it's one of the things that stuck, which was, there are a couple of places Paul gets a little bit talking about who is weaker or stronger in terms of meats. But for the most part, the weaker brother that Paul is pointing out is, it's interestingly enough, in Romans 14, the chapter after Romans 13, is the weaker brother is the one who does not understand how the person on the other side can worship God with a clear conscience by doing that. And the stronger brother is the one who grants that the other side has that liberty. In other words, the weaker brother, I believe we rightfully can say that Paul is saying the weaker brother is the one who will not allow for the other person to have their point of view. In which case, I think I could rightfully say in my own life, and as I observe things in the church, the majority of us are weaker brothers, because we will not accept or be able to grant that other person, I've heard people tell, there's no way that person can be following Christ and believe fill in the blank.
Right.
That means you're a weaker brother if you cannot grant that. And we have to be careful with that, because our unity becomes in who agrees with me instead of our unity being found in Christ.
So aside from very, you know, explicit things stated in Scripture, we need to find the unity in Christ. And if we're trying to demand unity outside of Christ, kind of majoring on the minors.
Right.
This is when we tend to get in trouble.
Yeah, we have to be careful in that area. I think we have to just navigate carefully. There are definitely some people say, well, that's pretty hypocritical coming from a Baptist. You will only unite with people that follow where you are theologically. There's a reason you're called a fundamentalist separatist. And my answer to that would be, well, it's basing it on Scripture. And so I think we just have to be careful also in terms of the unity aspect. And unity is a little bit different than fellowshipping and working together.
Sure.
I think I can have Christian brotherly love and unity with someone who has some different beliefs concerning Scripture. And that's where, you know, Kevin Bowder kind of calls that a grid, where, you know, I can pray with some people, although I can't pray with someone who's praying to another God.
Right.
But it's another thing to try to do ministry together with someone. And so that's a little bit different. So you have all these different areas. And I think some people are maximizing the application of taking a gray area and say, I'm only sticking with this person. And it's one thing if you're going to hang around with the person, but when you start saying that other person is wrong, that other person is sinning, I have no respect for that other person, you know, how could they possibly think that or believe that? Our unity then can get lost really quickly. And we need to fight for our unity in Christ in terms of that.
I was, as I was looking at that question that came in as well, Ephesians chapter 4, right? So this is the quintessential walk in unity passage. And without going through the entirety of the passage for time's sake, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bear with one another in love.
Right.
So, I mean, right there in that passage, we see the basis for unity in the midst of COVID, the basis for unity in the midst of a political climate that is tense and unnerving and all of that, right? So first and foremost, this verse would suggest that we ought to be doing so in humility.
Yeah.
Right? So we already talked a little bit about that humility piece of it, but placing others and their needs above myself.
And this is funny. I thought you were going to bring up Ephesians 4. I think I'm right. Ephesians 4 later on is the description of what pastors are for, apostles, preachers, teachers. I hope I'm right on that, or otherwise everybody's going to get rid of me as a pastor now.
I don't know exactly which verse you're talking about.
Right. Well, when Paul starts to talk about he has given apostles and evangelists and pastor teachers for the work of the training of the work of the ministry.
Okay.
That's also going on there. Is Paul? There's always, I know in Ephesians a number of times.
That's verse 11.
Yeah. So you've got unity wrapped around the purpose of the church. Paul says you need to be humble, you need to be unified, and then he says, and by the way, I gave you apostles and evangelists and pastor teachers to equip you for the work of the ministry, and then it comes back to that whole passage is wrapped up with love, unity, to accomplish the work of the church. And I think this is the reminders. For us to do our best job as a church, a First Baptist Church of Elyria, we need to humbly be majoring on loving each other, and really saying we are here to do work, the work of the ministry. And what happens is once we get into some of these gray areas and we get so hardline in it, and I'm just as guilty as anybody, I'm super opinionated. What happens is all of a sudden, all I'm thinking about is how I disagree with this person, or why did that person do that, you know, or I don't like that person's personality, or, you know, that guy, I can't even believe that he kind of thinks that about that, or I think about that. And what's happened? I'm no longer humble. I'm not in any way loving them.
You're not being gentle or patient.
The whole list.
We blow up.
And what happens? Then we aren't as a church are going to be able to accomplish what God has called us to do, because we're off into the pride aspect. And we're more concerned about what's different about us than focusing on what unifies us, Christ.
Right. And that in that verse 2 as well, it says they're bearing with one another.
Yeah.
This really is kind of the idea of making allowance for the faults of others,
right,
with love,
yep,
right, bearing with one another when they blow it, they offend me, they get it wrong, they come up and frustrate me about wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, or you fill in the blank. That just happens to be the hot topic
one
of today.
One of the verses in this Sunday's message, Moses is asking God, when God's kind of in, it's a great set of passages where it's almost like Moses and God are good cop, bad cop. There's one passage where God's like, I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses is like, don't do it. And he says, please forgive. And that term forgive is also the translate for bear up. And then later on, it's why Moses wants to be done with them. And God's like, listen, we're going to get you some extra help and we're going to help you take care of it. And But that bearing up has a forgiving aspect to it. Forgiveness is the number one way to bear one another's burdens, is just forgive up front. You know, there's an old, way back when we had a mission trip, which was not going too well. And I assigned two words to that mission trip to everybody on it. And I just said, these two words are very important. Drop it. That's forgiveness. Drop it. There's others. There's at that point, I, being the youth pastor, said, we are ministering. We got work to do. I don't care if that person did something that drives you nuts. Drop it. Let's do the work of the ministry. And that's bearing one another as part of that, is forgiving.
I like it. Well, I appreciate you sitting down for a few minutes.
Absolutely. I enjoy it. I hope the next podcast isn't, how far are we into? Are we 15? Are we into 15 months to flatten? Anyway, are we 15 months in from February yet?
Close.
Yep.
It's 1 year.
Yeah.
Like the whole world fell apart
right. Basically
a year ago.
Yep.
So okay. Looking forward to continuing the conversation next week. Anything going on in the church that our people need to know about?
We're praying. We're learning about prayer. It's a little bit self-promotion. We're having an installation service coming up here in a little less than a
March
month.
March 14th.
March 14th.
I believe 3:30 or 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And if you're getting sick of my preaching by that point, or you're like, I need a little break from that, two of my favorite preachers are going to be preaching. One is my dad, and he's going to be given a challenge. I think he's given the challenge to me, so you all get to watch my dad lecture me for a little bit. But my dad is a gracious, humble pastor who's taught me almost everything I know, but great guy. And then Bill Edmondson has been involved in my life in many different ways. He was actually one of my professors at Faith Baptist Bible College, and really has been a mentor and an encouragement to me. And now he's a missionary that I've taken kids on multiple mission trips out to Boston. And he's involved in a ministry called Boston and Beyond and Campus Bible Fellowship. And those two guys are going to be speaking. So I'm just looking forward to kind of that. Really, I just prayerfully am hoping it's a time where we can just say, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And will you please continue to bless? So that's going to be, I think it's going to be a fun afternoon. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, I'm looking forward to continuing this week preparation for this message with Moses and God and the prayer of Moses. And it's going to end in one of the most amazing, actually, I think I can make the chronological case, the first poem in the history of mankind is the prayer of Moses in Psalm 90, and we're going to end up there. And it's just a great reminder of what it means to pray and who God is and who we are.
All right. Thanks for hanging out with us on the First Family Podcast. If you are looking for a church home, we would love to have you visit us. We are at First Baptist Church of Elyria in Elyria, Ohio, at 11400 LaGrange Road. You can check us out online at firstbaptistelyria.org. I assume you've already been to the website if you have found our podcast. If you want to take a visit and join us, you can go on our website and plan your first visit with us. Send us an email, we would be happy to host you. If you don't want to take a visit, you're a little nervous, you've never been to church, you don't really understand what's going on, check us out online. You can check us out on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. at firstbaptistelyria.org/livestream, or you can check us out on Facebook or YouTube as well. We'll catch you next week.